Thanks, Chris. Well done for turning up tonight. I feared when people looked at the title of the sermon, These Feet Don't Smell, that probably they decide, as quite a few apparently have tonight, to stay away. I haven't the faintest idea what that title's all about. Absolutely no idea at all. And as the vicar's still on sabbatical, I haven't been able to ask him. But fortunately, he produced a wonderful passage of scripture that Chris has just read to us, and I'm delighted to be able to speak about that. But if you want to talk about smelly feet, have a word with Sylvester afterwards, and he can speak to the vicar on the subject. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the atmosphere in our church tonight. Thank you that we are a family who can enjoy being together. We can enjoy worshipping you together in song, in prayer, around your table, and now around your word. Father, bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're doing a series on the New Testament images of the church. And tonight, as you'll see from the passage we just had read, the thought is that the church is the body of Christ, the body. And stories told, and it may even be true, of a vicar who's got out of bed fairly early one morning to be told that the church was on fire, and he hastened down the high street to get there, bumped into a couple of parishioners on the way, said, "Oh, vicar, you know, the building's on fire," and he chatted to them and another few people. And then when he got right down to the gate of the church almost, some people he'd never met before said, "Oh, the church is gone." And he said, "Oh, that's interesting. I've just been talking to them." And he's right. The church is us, not this. We call this the church building. And yes, it is a building. But the church of God, the body of Christ, as we're going to discover this evening, is us sitting here tonight. Now, Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, a town that, as Lizzie said last week, was greedy, corrupt, very successful commercially, a trading post, and they'd long since really lost any real love, or many of them had, for Jesus, a love that had been instilled in them by Paul when that church was first formed. And that was why he was now writing to them. And one of the big problems in the church there was division. Paul said, "I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you." What I mean is this: one of you says, "I follow Paul." Another, "I follow Apollos." Another, "I follow Cephas." Still another, "I follow Christ." A church that was divided. And this is where Paul is now coming from. This divided church, he now is talking, the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that the church, in fact, the people are a body, parts of a body, together, not divided. Not, "I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollo, I'm of Cephas." And I want to be clear tonight that when I'm talking about the body of Christ and united, I'm talking about the Christian church. We can very easily get confused about this, and people say, "Well, all the different religions around, they all ought to be working together." Well, in social terms, that's fine, and they do work together in very many towns and cities. We saw it after the riots a week or so ago. The churches, the groups there got together. But when we're talking about the body of Christ, I believe we are talking about Christ, Christian. And nowadays, we don't very often read the creed. In fact, some may not even know what I'm talking about. The creed of the Church of England. Back in my younger days, we used to say this every service in the Church of England. Just let me read what I am defining tonight as being the church. When I talk about the body, later on, it's a body that comes out of this definition. It's not a body that comes out of a Muslim or a Jehovah's Witness or whatever who don't accept Christ in the way that I believe the Bible insists. This is the creed. We say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost. You can tell how old the passage is. We have a spirit these days, but then it was a ghost. Born of a Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. As so often is the case, looking back over the years, that definition of the body of Christ, of the Church, I think is a magnificent one. And that's what I'm referring to tonight, the body of Christ. We have family arguments, and the family arguments need to be resolved. And again, we've got family arguments within the body of the Christian Church. I mean, let me just toss a couple of straightforward ones out. We're in a situation where some people say, Jesus said that you should get round my table, break bread, drink wine together, do it in remembrance of me. Therefore, it's the most crucial part of our worship. And every time we have a service, we ought to have the Mass, as some people call it, or a Eucharist, or the Holy Communion. We ought to do it every time. Others say it is so important that we shouldn't just have it week by week and people take it for granted. Every quarter, the whole of our family here in our fellowship or to meet together, it's a big occasion, may well stay and have a meal afterwards, as we celebrate that Holy Communion, the death of Jesus Christ. And so you've got two bodies of opinion. And quite quickly, those bodies of opinion get quite acute and they go their own separate ways. Within the Anglican Church, of course, we've got the glorious argument over baptism. Should a child, baby be baptized? Yes, say many. Others say no. This morning we had Thanksgiving for two youngsters, because parents said, let's give thanks to God, and then when they're old enough, they can be baptized if they wish it. Others say no, and certainly if a child is very ill, people are very keen that that service should take place, that the child should be baptized and brought in to the body of the Church. Division. Baptism or infant baptism. Stars of worship. Some say the greatest thing we need to do is to worship God, particularly in song, in dance as well, frequently. Others say, yes, that's fine. But the real importance is to worship God around his word, the teaching of the Bible. And so one's got within the church, and again, groups of people who concentrate on these two things and very easily and very quickly can be critical of one another. Paul says, unite. We are like body parts because we are the body. And the question tonight, which we're going to go into, is what part are you? What part am I of this body? The Message version of the Bible, which I love, says in this chapter we've just read tonight, verses 12 and 13, we used to independently call our own shots, but then we entered into a large and integrated life in which he has the final say in everything. And Paul was quite clever. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he first 11 verses, he talks about gifts. Then from 12 to 27, which we've read tonight, he talks about the body. And then from 28 to 30, he goes back again to talk about gifts. And what he's saying is every part of the body, every one of us, has got a role to play. He says in verse 18, God has arranged the parts. It's God who's given you the gifts that sandwich this talk of the body. Each one of us, he said, has got a gift that needs to be used. Each one of us being a part of the body, a gift. God has arranged the parts. And verse 24, it says, God has combined members. So again, the question is, what is your role? What is my role in the body of Christ? The church is a mighty body. It's not any old body. It's a mighty body. And I'm impressed always, and we saw it this morning, in the morning service, there was two little babies. Part of the Thanksgiving service, we welcomed two little babies who were with us for the first time, both a couple of weeks only old. And one had got there in those tiny little bodies, a powerful body. Everything's enclosed within that body. It's the power of God. And the church has got everything within it to be a mighty power. You see, when Jesus was on earth, he was limited in his method of communication. He was limited because he was human. He was limited because he got hungry. He was limited because he got tired. He was limited because he was only go so many miles in the day, horseback or walking or whatever it may be. He was restricted by those failings. Now, how does Jesus work? Jesus works through his church. He works through the body that we are. And what are the restrictions? Well, now the restrictions that he faces come about because some parts of the body do not pull their weight. Some parts of the body just don't exercise the gift that God has given to them. Paul says in verse 13, we are all equal. And let me just read one little passage from an ancient idea. I don't know who he was. Mr. Livy or Mr. Livy, some of the experts might know, L-I-V-Y. He said this, and it's just a fascinating opening as we're going to look at parts of the body. There was a day when the human body was not as harmoniously ordered as it is today. Every member of the body had its own will and its own language. The other members became angry that they had to concern themselves with the need of the stomach and provide it with everything. The stomach just remained at the centre of all this, satisfied of all that was brought to it. The members made this decision. The hands wouldn't supply any food to the mouth. The mouth would not receive any food, nor would the teeth chew. Consequently, during this time in which they starved the stomach, all the parts of the body became weak and feeble. Then they realized that the role of the stomach was not to be despised as a passive one. Just as he was being nourished, he was passing on strength in return. Bear that little story in mind as we look at these verses. I am a vital part. What is my gift? Paul says, all in the church of God, all in the church God has appointed, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, workers of miracles, those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Gifts that God has given. And there's a great danger as we sit here tonight that we talk and think about the special gifts, apostles, prophets, these are all a bit special. And then we move on to workers of miracles, gifts of healing. And we opt out. That doesn't include me in, most of us will say. Paul goes on to say those able to help others, those with gifts of administration. And then he says those speaking in different kinds of tongues, which of course is a gift that many people are keen to have. It's one of those gifts that seems to demonstrate that there's a very special relationship. I don't think Paul says that at all. What Paul says is everybody has a gift. Everybody is a part of the body. And he makes no differentiation between these different gifts. And he makes no differentiation between natural or supernatural gifts. He says, everyone, the church God has appointed, first of all, apostles, prophets, workers of miracles, those having gifts of healing, those who can help others, gifts of administration. Starts to ring a bell, doesn't it? Helping others, gifts of administration. What's my gift? Secondly, I think it's like an army. If you think of a vast army planning a battle, you've got your general on top who is presumably doing all the strategy for this, and then the word gets passed down until you've got the foot soldiers who get on and fight the battle. Now, if you take any one of those out, the whole thing collapses. Without a general to plan the strategy, the foot soldiers are rushing around the place, firing blanks in all directions and achieving nothing. If the general comes up with the most fantastic strategy, but the foot soldiers either disobey it or the word never gets through to them, he's wasted his time. The strategy achieves absolutely nothing because the troops on the ground are not geared up. And I think that Paul is thinking along these lines, and I think we need to think along these lines tonight, that we are like a mighty army. And wherever you are in that pyramid, whether you're one of the ones at the top here or whether you're the foot soldier at the bottom, without each layer, the whole thing collapses. And we're going to develop this more as we look at the body. Outward v. inward, I've put. Would you rather have a most magnificent crop of hair that everybody said, oh, look at that wonderful hair she's got, or, my goodness, look at that guy, wow, great mop of auburn hair, or isn't that fantastic? Would you rather have that or a stomach? Now, you can get by without one of them. In fact, many men do get by without one of them. But you can't get by without the other one. Which would you rather have, the outward appearance or the inward? How about magnificent blue eyes that everybody gets gooey about? There's one choice. You could have that perhaps rather than a liver. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We know which you'd rather have. Now look, just keep on thinking here as we develop this in terms of our gifts and our being part of the body. You see, within a fellowship like our own, we've got guys sitting in an office at the back there dealing with the administration of this church. Without it, we'd be in a horrendous mess. They're like the liver, they're like the stomach. It's people like me that stand here and everyone says, oh my, look at those wonderful eyes, look at that great head of hair. You know, the front man. And it's completely upside down. We've got folk whose role it is to be absolutely vital within the church. It's an inner role that people don't see and don't detect very easily. We've got dear Peter Hart, who many of you, if you don't come at 10:30, won't know, always sits where Chris and Elaine are sitting now, and at about 10:10, without fail, he walks through there and goes ding, 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 and he does it for whatever it is, number of minutes, and Peter being Peter, it will be done absolutely to the second as to what it ought to be. Then he comes and sits down. And apart from baking magnificent cakes that are often around on St. Paul's night, and I can recommend them, that's Peter's role. He's very quiet, doesn't make a noise at any stage, could never stand here and do what I'm doing tonight. But his ding, ding, dinging that bell caused the chap that I mentioned, I think, last week or the week before, who's just lost his son in Afghanistan and was walking around the streets of Kingston desolate, and he heard the ding, ding, ding and thought a church and walked in and spent the whole of the morning service with us here in St. Paul's Church. How did it happen? Ding, ding, ding. That's why. That's why. Outward or inward? What would you rather? We cover our reproductive organs. That's the embarrassing part of the body. But we'd be in a mess without them. If you got rid of the reproductive organs, we'd be rid of the whole world in a generation. They're covered up, but they're vital. Outward or inward? Don't let's in any sense despise the inward work that we don't often see or don't appreciate. Opt out, all suffer. Verses 15 and 16. Paul says, we're part. Here we are sitting here. You are part of the body of Christ here in St. Paul's Church. That's it. It's a fact. Now, you may not pull your weight. You may not operate with the part of the body that you ought to be, the gift that God has given. But you're part. You can't walk away from it, says Paul. A friend of mine's got trouble with their thyroid gland, and it's created havoc in their life for quite a time until the medical boys picked it up and gave them the right treatment. If we opt out, all suffer. If whoever's job it is to put the heating on in this church in the winter fails to do it, we'll all suffer. If there's no coffee or tea and so on, we all look around and say, what's gone on? We all suffer. If the church is filthy, we all suffer. If we don't have people who've got the IT skills to make this thing work, it gives me panic stations whenever I'm too near it. And this morning in the middle of the service, it suddenly stopped. But we had somebody here with IT skills as well as being a curate, and he came up and pressed buttons and we were back in business. Those skills are necessary. Rick sitting at the back has got skills that most of us will never dream of having. And they're skills that are used within this body of Christ. The part of the body that Rick represents is a vital part of that body. Opt in and we all gain. We all gain from having a fit body. We gain if we've got people who've got a gift of teaching. And that means teaching children, as well as, again, standing up here. The teaching role within our house groups, contributing and teaching. It's a gift. It's a gift that God gives. The gift of administration is one that is usually ignored. But somebody like Derek Strathern in our own church, what a mess we'd be without Derek as our finance officer. Just a great guy who keeps control of our finances. That's his gift. That's his gift. And don't ever deride that in terms of somebody who isn't at the front making a noise. That gift is a vital gift that God has given. And that means that the body of Christ here in St. Paul's is more and more effective as he exercises that gift. Prayer ministry, the pastoral work of this church. Most of us know nothing about that because by definition, it's done quietly. It's done quietly. We give quite significant sums of money if you look at the annual accounts. Where those monies go to, only two or three people in the church know. But there's just a small group of people that look out for pastoral needs, that pray about it, that talk about it, and if appropriate, make contributions. Absolutely vital role. Those that own a nice red bus and say, how about the church going to Brighton for the day? What a gift. What a gift. Okay, only one of us has got a big red bus. But the principle is clear, isn't it? There's a gift and somebody's like, I've got this bus, use it. And so we have a great day out down in Brighton. And so I could go on. But again, as I said earlier, we mustn't separate the natural from the supernatural gifts. I'm quite clear, and I've said it so many times, that the gift that I have in accountancy is a vital gift. I've been involved with so many charitable trusts as well as businesses over the years. It's a gift that God has given. I trained to do it, but it's a gift. don't ever dream of saying to me, well, it's a pity your gift is only in administration and accountancy. Do you not speak in tongues? Do you not conduct healing sessions? Oh dear, well, you know, just stick at it and you'll get better. You'd be very wise not to make that comment to me. It isn't what Paul talks about. Variety, we all contribute to variety. If the body was made up of ears only, or mouths or arms, what a grotesque thing it would be. And if we had the choice of gifts, we'd have a very lopsided church here at St Paul's or anywhere else, because we'd all opt for certain nice gifts. God has put these gifts together. God allocates them. And if God has allocated a gift to you, and it's not an if, he has. It's a matter of what that gift is. We must be responsible for using it. I just marvel constantly. I talked about the power within a little baby a few minutes ago. I also was aware, talking with somebody the other day, it's extraordinary, but right through the whole of time, the number of boys, babies and girl babies has been more or less equal. Nobody has a clue how that happens. Nobody can sort of engineer a baby boy or a baby girl. It just happens. Why does it happen? It happens because there is a mighty God, and that mighty God is saying, I want to work through you as the body of Christ in Kingston. Each one of you is a part of the body, and don't, whatever happens, decry some of the inner parts. And final one on this, I'm a vital part, and that is the end of the sermon anyway. Don't think we're coming on to point two in a moment. Hospitality is one that's mentioned constantly. Hospitality. If you think of Matthew 25, verse 34, in the last days, and people, the sheep, are brought out, and they say, but Lord, what have I done to deserve this? And they're told that when I was sick, you visited. When I was hungry, you... But Lord, you know, when you did this to the least of one of mine, you did it to me. Hospitality is one of the greatest gifts God can give. Don't please deride it or ignore it and say, well, you know, I can cook a meal, yeah, but that doesn't count. It counts mightily, providing we use that gift to look out for people who can benefit, the lonely, the sick, people who are in need. I love it when people say, I'll cook you a meal, but my needs aren't as great as many others that might be around. That gift needs to be used in the service of God. Sick visiting. Again, it's not easy in many ways, but any one of us can go and visit somebody at home or in hospital who is sick. I'm a vital part. I'm a part of the body of Christ, and I'm there to serve others. 1 Peter chapter 4, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Faithfully administering. Mark 10, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. It's not the guy or the girl that's at the front making the noise, the leader. Yeah, they've got a part to play. The general of the army is needed. There's probably only one general, but you need an awful lot of foot soldiers at the bottom of that pyramid. And Mark says, or Jesus said, it said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. We have a role to play as a servant. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful illustration you give in your word. Thank you for Paul and his ability to express all of this. And we just pray now for ourselves as individuals and for each other that we may seek from you the gift that we have. And then, Father, may we as servants of God use it, that the body here may be a fit and strong body, not lopsided, not weak, but strong and fit, because we're all playing our part. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.